Welcome back to the Short Commute Podcast. Zach here again. We have another guest, my friend Tanner. Tanner is part of the Renew Ministries Church Plant in Sheboygan. Tanner, thank you for coming.
Yeah, Zach, thanks for having me.
We are having a conversation at Renew's service. At the time of this recording, it's tomorrow at 6:30. But if you're listening to this at the traditional Friday posting date, you will have missed it. But and so kind of in preparation for that conversation, we wanted to have a conversation here on the podcast about the same topic. And that was something that came up in our conversations off the record. And you shared with me about this idea of the fire on the altar. That was my first time ever thinking of it that way.
Yeah, so this idea, I actually learned it from a pastor named Bill Johnson. He talks about how in the Old Testament, God lit the fire on the altar. This is in Leviticus 6 and then Leviticus 9, and how God lit the fire on the altar, but it was the priest's job to stoke the fire and keep it burning. You want me to read the verses?
Read the scripture.
We're going to like go a little bit forward and then backtrack a little bit. In Leviticus 9, 22, 23, and 24, it says, "Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." And then to backtrack a little bit to Leviticus 6, verses 8 through 13.
Yeah, so that was the first time the fire came, right? It was sent by God. It was a miraculous thing.
Yeah,
right?
Really.
It wasn't a lit fire. It was fire from heaven.
Yeah, so fire literally falls from heaven, which is just crazy to think about. And then if you go back a little bit to Leviticus 6, 8 through 13, I'll read and then I might hit the point and I'll just stop, but it's 8 through 13. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen trousers he shall put on his body, and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out." So right there, what we're seeing is that God initiates this fire. But God, like, he initiates it, but he's not the one responsible for keeping it going.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's an awesome analogy for basically everything that happens on this earth. Mm-hmm. From the beginning, from creation, God does the creating, and then who stewards it? Well, God does, but he invites us to participate in the stewardship for just because he's generous with us. He does it in faith. Who does the coming down? God does, but he invites us to participate actively in a life of faith, bearing fruit. Mm-hmm. And so we just see this pattern of God does the work. God does all the work. He could continue to do all the work, but he invites us to participate in some small way, which is incredibly generous of him.
Yeah, and like think about just a normal like Saturday night campfire. You know, you're sitting around a bonfire in your backyard and the fire goes for what, like 20 minutes then all of a sudden you have to add more wood and you're continually having to do more to stoke the fire a little bit, move it around, maybe get some air in there, and you're having to do something so that the fire keeps burning.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I mean, I used to go camping with my family when I was younger, and I know a lot of people who at the end of the night they wouldn't burn it or they wouldn't put it out by, you know, dumping water on it or anything. They would just kind of let it burn out. If we're not being attentive to cultivating a life of devotion, a life of faith, of pursuing God, you know, he can send a spark and all of a sudden we're on this. Think about like your youth group camp during the middle of a summer that you go to and you come back and you're on what I used to call a Jesus high for like two weeks.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and you're like, I'm going to live every moment of every day for God. And then 2 weeks go by, 3 weeks go by, and you're not trying to let it fade.
Yeah.
But you're not actively
stoking the fire.
You're not actively putting more wood on, moving the logs around. It burns out, you know, and you burn out. And then where we get wrong is we go, God, where are you?
Yeah, right.
You know, like, God, like, come on, send the fire, send the passion again. And God's like, I did.
I was there and I'm still there.
Yeah.
I'm inviting you to participate and you're not doing your part.
Yeah, I did. And a lot of times, you know, the fire could get very, very, very small in the natural. The fire can get really, really small. And if we just will add a little bit or stir it up, like, the fire can get back pretty quickly. Mm. But we have to actually go and do something about it. We can't rely on God to do the work that he's said you need to do.
So part of Renew's heart is to reach people downtown. You guys are right on
8th Street.
8th Street. Right now you're meeting in the upper room.
Mm-hmm.
And to reach people downtown, and especially the people who are moving into that area that we're seeing, just the demographic, mm-hmm. is younger professional people. And so there's been a lot of people around the world praying for a movement of God among these young people who we've seen have been leaving the church over the past 20, 30 years. Numbers have been declining. And so people have been praying for this movement of God and this demographic. And that's a big part of what you guys are trying to do. But we both acknowledge that that's not the only way that it has to happen, right?
Religion in America is changing.
And it's a shared work.
Yes. It's multi-generational.
Yeah, exactly. It's
a lot of times when a move of God starts in the young people, the older people in the church will say, like, you know, the young people get to have all the fun, or God moves through the young. It's like, well, God moves among the hungry.
Yeah.
You know, just because you've hit 50 years old doesn't mean you don't have to be hungry for God anymore. Like, your hunger should, in the kingdom, so in the natural, when you eat, you get full. In the kingdom, when you eat, you get hungrier.
Mm-mm. Interesting.
When you are constantly eating, you know, through God's word, through personal devotion time with him, through these kind of personal disciplines. They can turn into disciplines, but discipline isn't a negative thing. Discipline can be a very freeing thing because
spiritual discipline.
Because
of
it sets you in rhythms and order, and it gives you priorities. So when we eat in the kingdom, we actually get hungrier, and God can use that hunger to do some pretty amazing things. So I guess to go back kind of where this segment started, the youth movement is not, it's not something that's just kind of like a one-off thing, like, oh, it'll burn out. You know, like, generations, this thing, you know, we can pray for it to be generational. We can believe that it's actually going to unite multiple generations, not separate things. And that comes down, and we could go on and on and on and on and on forever.
And multi-generational or intergenerational worship is very important too. Mm-hmm. Intergenerational ministry is very important to both of us, and that's why I wanted to get at some of that with you before we ran out of time. But I liked what you said about, you know, so often we blame younger generations, and often for a good reason, of this general sense of apathy and lack of commitment. But the flip side of that is when the fire is lit among the young people, the older generation is called to do that same work alongside them. And we had this conversation off air as well about the book of Haggai, mm-hmm. where the people return and they rebuild the temple that had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and they're rebuilding the temple, and the old people stop helping because they had seen how beautiful Solomon's temple was. And say, wow, this second temple pales in comparison to what we used to have. Those were the good old days. How can we participate in this work that is just, it feels beneath us? And God chastises those people and says, this isn't the good old days. In fact, I don't care about the glory of the former temple, because the glory is not in the appearance of the temple. Mm-hmm. The glory is in the God who resides in it.
Yeah.
And the God who resides in it hasn't changed. So while the ministry building, while the ministry looks different, God is still God.
Mm-hmm.
right? And so even though this younger generation has returned to Israel and they have this fervor to rebuild the temple, the older generation sits along the wayside and says, how can we participate in this? And God says, because I've called you to.
Yeah, that's really good. I don't have any additional thoughts there. I think you talked through that super well.
Yeah, and we'll have more time to get at some of this stuff when we have our conversation tomorrow, and, mm-hmm. and hopefully there'll be a way to share that with both our congregations.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that. If you can make it, I will have, again, if you're listening to this at the normal Friday post date, you will have missed it, but we will share some links to how you can watch or listen. Tanner, thanks for coming. Hope to have you back another time.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Zach. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome. See you guys next week.